This is the Skirted Roundtable. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
And this is Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8.
And Joni Webb with Cote de Texas.
And this week on the Skirted Roundtable, we are welcoming the fantastic interior designer and author and future television star, Catherine Ireland. So Catherine, welcome to the Skirted Roundtable.
Hello, girls. How are you?
We're fantastic. As we always do, we like to hear about our guests' backgrounds, how you learned your craft and came up. Did you go to school for design? Tell us all about you.
Oh, my God. Have you got a day and a half?
Sure. No.
Well, I grew up in England. Well, I really grew up between the west coast of Scotland and London. You know, it was just one of those things I always had in me. I really, really like decorating, and I was constantly changing my room around, and my mother, you know, subscribed to House and Gardens. That I know was going on at the time, and World of Interiors, even then, was just out, and all the other magazines, and I used to sit and look at all the rooms, and she was great. She let me redo my room when I was about 9 years old, and I painted it kind of a really bright green, and she was kind of cool with everything. And no one in England had ever had walk-in closets. I was the first. I made her make me walk-in closets, which was because I had American friends at school. And so, you know, I went to a school where, as I said, there were a lot of Americans, my mother grew up in Egypt, so she was a big thing for her was that I'd go to schools where I'd meet people from all over the world. Because as she said to me, she said, darling, I want to make sure that wherever you go in the world, you'll always be staying in a palace.
Wow.
And my God, it's paid off.
I guess so.
Anyway, so she is kind of rather quirky. And it's actually her birthday today. And if you can believe, I forgot to call her. That's horrible. She'll be hearing from me in the morning. Anyway, I've got lots of brothers and sisters, so I'm sure they all called her. She won't even have missed me. But anyway, I just think, you know, growing up in England, growing up surrounded by wonderful architecture, just when you're roaming the streets of London and it's kind of Eaton Square and Harrods and all this amazing architecture versus strip malls in LA, you have a sense of the sort of beauty. And then we used to always go to Italy for summer holidays, and we go to Vicenza and, you know, the hometown of Palladio. I was just very privileged and lucky that my parents were into art and travel. And that's what was important to them. And that's what's been important to me. I mean, since my kids were tiny, I would just bundle them up and take them, you know, whether it be the Nile or Bali. And my kids would always say to me, Mum, they never say, where are we going, Mum? They go, how many plane rides? And one day they've all said, but can't we just go to, you know, Hawaii, Mum, where all our friends go? I said, absolutely out of the question. So no. But, you know, I just think travel, just liking, you know, and the interiors I do are nothing groundbreaking, but I think everyone gets so caught up in showing off. I just like interiors that everyone feels comfortable, people can come over. And it's not just about the interiors, it's really the whole package. It's the lifestyle, it's cooking, it's drinking, it's friends, it's just the whole thing. I don't think you can just have beautiful places to live in if you don't have the rest. So I think that's one of my beliefs, and that's why I bought a house in France when I was 25, and I bought this rambling old farmhouse that's kind of been my laboratory. I had no idea. I was making film at the time. I had no idea I was going to end up doing all the actors I was working with. That kind of just happened by chance.
What were you doing in the industry?
Well, I married a filmmaker who was part of the original team of Saturday Night Live, Gary Weiss. In the original days, which was before me, because I hadn't come to live here, every week there was a film by Gary Weiss. And he kind of was the, He was actually the beginnings of reality TV. He used real people in all his skits. And then he made movies. And when I met him, we made music videos. I don't know if you remember things like Call Me Out, Chevy Chase and Paul Simon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The Bangles, Walk Like an Egyptian. They were all comedy and quirky and...
I remember that. That's my age. Yeah, but we must be the exact same age.
I'm...
What are you? You say?
Of course I say. Right. I am. I'm 49.
Oh, I'm older. Okay. Never mind.
Well, Catherine, didn't you have a shop with Amanda Pays?
Mm-hmm.
In Santa Monica, right?
Then what happened was... We had a little editing studio on Main Street in Santa Monica, and I got pregnant with my first son, and my great girlfriend, Amanda Page, was having a baby. And I suddenly thought, why do we have an editing suite on this great little, storefront in Santa Monica? It's a great little street. So I moved my ex-husband out, and I moved pillows and antique textiles and anything that I could carry back on the plane from London. Everything that came back in my luggage, I would carry back and put in the store. And it was tiny, but it was became this kind of iconic little store. And House and Gardens did a full page photograph of Amanda and I sitting out on the street holding pillows. And
I remember that. When was that?
That must have been in 1990. And then our little store was born. So that's how it all began. But I've always had a passion for collecting antique textiles in particular. I just am crazy. I mean, I won the sewing prize at school when I was seven for my patchwork quilt. I just had a real passion for textiles and color.
Were you guys making the pillows? For some reason, I thought you all made pillows. Yeah.
We made pillows. We hand-dyed and tea-stained and dyed. Mm-hmm. Old tablecloth bags. They were beautifully made, and they had lovely ties. And I cannot tell you how many of those pillows we sold. In fact, it was only one day when Steve Martin, who was shooting a movie across the road, he came in and he bought everything in the shop, and he left me a note. I remember walking in and saying to a man, I can't remember whoever was in that day, I said, "Oh my God, what's happened?" And I said, "We had a burglary." They said, no, we haven't. And they handed me a note from Steve Martin saying, "Sorry, I just had to buy everything." And then Steve was my first client, came to dinner with me in my very pretty little Spanish house north of Montana Avenue. And he had just got divorced, and I just had my third child, which is Lulu, who is now 17 years old. And Steve just said, "Oh my God, I love this house so much. I want to live in your house." And I think I said it might be a little tricky because I was married, but we tried to figure it out. Anyway, so I then found him. In fact, I found him his house. It was Amanda and Corbin Burnson's house. Amanda, who was my partner, they were moving back to England. And so, like anything, he was, "Oh my God, I need furniture." So I did three houses for him. And I managed to do single men that were comedians. I did a lot of single men for a long time. I was who you called if you were getting divorced and needed where to live.
And how are they as clients? Are they pretty great? Because they
were great. They were great. Steve, I always say, I started at the top. So I could only go down from there. He was fantastic. He has very, very good taste. And an art collection, and he's not, he understands beautiful things.
Mm-hmm.
So
he likes your kind of, not dressy style?
He wanted to live in a very comfortable, I think, ultimately, and I've worked for, God, Caroline Kennedy, Schlossberg, to Fran Drescher, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Bob Zemeckis, who is a film director I've worked with. I actually did for Steven Spielberg, gave me to his mother, his divine, lovely, heavenly mother, as her present one year to redo her her apartment. So I think people respond to the unpreciousness of my look, the simplicity.
Well, it's very comfortable.
It's comfortable. And you know what? I really like the fact that most people think it looks like whoever my client is, they've done the house themselves. In fact, one of the things that I loved the most was I was once at Steve Martin's for dinner, and he had Roddy McDowell over, and Roddy said, "Oh my God, Steve, I had no idea you were a decorator." And Steve was like slightly taken aback. Said, no, Catherine, come over here now. No, this is Catherine. Catherine did it. Because I think, really male men hate the idea to be mistaken for being decorated.
Right.
So, I think that to me was a huge compliment, because I think it says that the interiors I do really represents who the people are. I don't just have a formula, I get to know who the people are, what the house is going to be for, and I think most of the people that I attract, people that have got families and dogs, because I kind of understand that everyone, you need to be able to put your feet up, you need to be able to throw, if some white wine gets thrown over something, hey, it just adds, it's history, it gives a little history.
It's sort of the patina of life to the...
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly that. It's the patina of life. And as Axel Vervolt, who is one of my heroes, said to me, all those cracks, I was with him in Venice earlier this year. Venice, Italy, that is. And we were just talking about architecture and, the cracks on walls. I mean, that's hundreds of years of living. Why cover them up? You should allow everything to age. Well, like all of us, we all want to age with grace.
Right.
And, we don't need too much filling in of the cracks. We should all just let it happen.
You British ladies are, I think, better at that than the American ladies.
Oh, I know. My friends are absolutely horrified when they come here. They're just like, oh, my God. Oh my God. And I'm always saying I'm going to have a necklace. Definitely have my necklace. There's no question about it. Oh, don't be ridiculous. I think I'll have to go and grow old in Europe. France in particular, which I love, because France is probably the one country where the men, all they want is an older woman. It's heaven.
Really?
Yeah.
I think we all need to go there.
I know. Oh,
certainly, another reason. We need to get ourselves out of LA to get a real perspective. That's for sure.
No. They love an older, mature woman. They do.
Catherine, when did you start designing your own textiles?
In 1997 was my very first collection. I always knew I had a collection in me. It was just one of those things. We have a book. Some people have an album in them. I always knew I had one. I just thought, like anything, I'll just do one collection. And I'd been working a lot on the East Coast with a lot of people that all knew each other. And, at that time, venison was flavor of the month. I didn't even know about the PDC. I didn't know that design centers existed. I just knew that there was venison and a couple of antique stores in Pimlico in London. And so I just did what I knew. And so my few clients, it got to the point, though, there were only so many ways I could scheme venison. So I just said, okay, I've got a collection in me, and I did it.
So you created one that all the pieces that were missing in your normal repertoire, your go-to repertoire.
I had a wonderful old quilt, kind of very early 19th century quilt that I completely coveted. And, oh my God, I'll just throw this in just because it's a little bit of gossip. But you girl, who's from, is it Megan, are you from Texas?
No, so, I'm LA.
You're in LA. Oh, you're in my time. Well, I saw, Joni, you're in Texas.
Yes.
Randy Quaid is the godfather of my eldest son, and we were very close friends many years ago. And in fact, his slightly nutcase wife, Evie, she bought the patchwork quilt from me from my store. And then, it was one of those things I loved so much. You know, I used to put things in my store that I never would sell. And one day she just beat me up and she said, I've got to buy it, I've got to buy it. So I reluctantly sold it to her. But the good news was she had a garage sale and I bought it back from her.
Oh, my God.
This quilt then went onto my bed and my kids would use my bed as a trampoline. And one day I just saw this thing. It was being falling apart. You know, it had stayed intact until it got to my house. And I looked at it and I went, wow. And the only thing I ever really thought I would be very upset when this goes is this quilt. So I thought, well, I'm going to reproduce it. And as I looked deeper into it, I got all my ideas for my first collection. I mean, if you saw the quilt there, my first collection, you would see very little. But it was my inspiration. It was what inspired me to start print.
And didn't you work with Raoul Textiles one day?
I did. I was going to bring that up. So then my bed, which was before I was a decorator, I had used Sally's fabric from Raoul as the inside of my four-poster bed. And I just loved Sally's sensibility. So this was early, early days before Sally was nearly as big, you know, anywhere as big as she was today. And I called her up and there she was in Santa Barbara. And I said who I was. And I said, would you be interested in printing my collection? She said, sure. So she's my LA mother, Louise Fletcher, Nurse Ratchet.
Yes.
I know. Don't you love my name dropping? I'm the best.
Yeah, I do. Very good. I'm in heaven.
I'm impressed.
You know what? I always feel like, you know, you got to sound like a Jackie Collins.
Yeah.
Anyway, Louise, I said, Louise, come on, we're going to Santa Barbara. And off we went and met Sally, who was fabulous. And in fact, our boys who are the same age, my eldest son, Oscar, and her son Gene were both about five years old at the time, then became firm friends, and we spent a lot of time together. And Sally was fantastic, and she taught me all I really know about printing. Although I have to say, I did at school do a course called textile and design, and the reason I did, because I was the only one that signed up for it, so I just figured, you know, why would the teacher ever bother to show up? But she did. But I, you know, I learned. So I definitely knew a little bit about fabric, but it wasn't my major.
So you took textile design while still in school, so it just had that sort of.
It wasn't really. It was more about just at the makeup of text. I learned about textiles, and I learned a little bit about design, but nothing for what I really have taught myself.
Yeah.
Of course, had I gone on to art school, I would have learned everything else, but I was too eager to go out into the world and make a living. And in fact, I went to drama school for five. I did a lot of things for 5 minutes. I worked in the fashion industry. Actually, I did pretty well in there. I was designing clothes. And then, so, you know, I sort of always done things with fabric and design.
And how often do you, are you in your shop in Almont Yard? I mean, are you there often?
I was there earlier today because I had a meeting. God, I try and go there once a week.
It seems like every time I'm there, I see you there. I see you, but you're always busy. You're always really busy with people.
Oh, God. You know what? I go there so rarely. I mean, it's just hard. It's just, you know, doing all these things and then traveling and...
How big a staff do you have?
Well, at my warehouse, on the fabric side, you know, I've got two full-time sewers. We're kind of five people in the fabric and then three in the design. And then there's Tyler in the shop. You know, after that, it gets too much for me. I never understand how people can, you know, have these huge companies and all these people. It's just, It's too much. I like to be very hands-on. I don't like to sign off too much. And I you know, there's the element of the cottage industry that's always appealed to me.
So you probably don't take on numerous clients simultaneously. I
only take on jobs that I design. I just, otherwise it turns into a bit of a factory.
Yeah.
And it's the fun part. I enjoy doing it. I don't know. The more people you have, the more headaches you have, the more jobs you have, but you're not in control, the more headaches you have with clients.
I would assume you've got a lot of repeat clients, though.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's all about repeat, which is great because that's really what you want. You want to know that who people are, that they're not crazy, that they pay on time, and they like the end product.
Do you still do Steve Martin's work?
You know what? Steve got married, and quite often when the client marries, you take, because, you know, I was very close to him, and quite often when a wife comes in, that's part of their gig.
Right.
They want to do the decorating. But, I mean, actually, it was so exquisite, and it's the first house I did, and it's still the greatest thing I think I've done.
Was it published? Is it in your books?
No, there was one picture, actually, in my first book. But you know what? My next book, I'm gonna ask Steve if I can publish it. And I think, you know what? I just respect people's privacy. I just find it very awkward. Most of the people who I get published are people that clearly want it and make it very, very obvious. Then a lot of people I just know, they're very private. And so I hate people saying no to me, so I just don't ask.
But if they don't live there anymore, I mean, I'm sure he does.
No, he still lives there.
Oh.
He loves his house. Oh. It's absolutely, he loves it.
Okay, what page is it on? I'm looking at your book right now.
God. Go to the bedroom section.
Uh-huh.
Which book are we talking about?
The first one.
Book. It's called Classic Country. You know what? It's an attic bedroom, and it's really cute, and it's got a chaise in front of the bed, and it's got some Roman shades behind. It's got a couple of cricket tables either side. Well, that first book was really all about my fabrics and how I combine fabrics.
I see the book. I see it right now.
And so it's just a little...
it's on page 133. Yeah, that's adorable.
You know what? The house is ravishing. It's an overgrown cottage, and it's really ravishing. So I'm going to ask him for my next book, and I'm going to ask Bob Zemeckis. I'm going to ask all these. You know, my next book will be my big book.
I was going to say, your second book was, I think, one of my favorite all-time books. I love books about one house, where you show it from, you know, it started out as a house in the early 1900s, and then you know, take it and redo it and make it into this fabulous. I mean, I studied the plot plan against every picture, and I'll Google the maps, and I mean, I was so involved in this house. And then you sold it, you know, like the next.
You know what? What happened was I suddenly, when I saw this house, I fell madly in love with this house. I was more bowled over with this house than I'd ever been for any man. And I suddenly thought, you know what? Let's have one set of bills instead of three. So I thought I'd sell my house in France, move my horses, have the life that I love in France, have it in Ojai, be an hour and a half from LA, move my studio, blah, blah, blah. And it was all sound fantastic. Except I forgot I had children and I was selling my house here. Everything was going swimmingly until I took my children up there, and they went, "Well, there's no way. We're not moving now." You know, they were beginning of their teen years, and didn't want to go. So that was that. Yeah. Anyway, I had a really good time doing it. And I did it for myself, which is always the best thing. And then even better was that Reese Witherspoon came along and absolutely loved it as is and wanted it with every single fork, glass,
You're kidding. So wow. She kept it intact?
She kept the whole thing as is.
Oh, my God. Aren't you lucky?
Yeah, which was great. Which was great, great, great.
Great for her.
Yeah, it was great for her. She moved in. She bought it on Tuesday. And she moved in on Friday.
Wait, what year would that have been?
A couple years ago.
Yeah, it was the year before last.
Where are the pictures of that? I had them.
That's in the second. Her second book is all about the Ojai House.
Creating
yeah, I love that. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, really, one of my.
I just love all the outbuildings, you know, all the little outbuildings.
Hold on a second. Lucy, open a bottle of wine and come and come and join the skirted round table. My lovely friend who lives down at the beach, he's come to a glass of wine, as we all do at the end of the day. It was a rat. I mean, even my European friends said to me, "Oh my God, it's one of the most fabulous houses that we've ever been to." It was to die for. It was really, God.
Did it kill you to walk away from?
You know what? You have to just change your mindset, and you know you have to. And I sort of tried hard to keep it, but it wasn't, you know, it was like, what am I going to do? Give up my children?
Yeah.
I live in the house. Yeah, I know.
Joni.
Yes, exactly. I'm psychic,
I love that picture of you in Vogue with you're having a fight with one of your sons, and he's I'm not doing the photo shoot anymore, Mom, and that's it. You're begging him, you know.
I begged. My publishers couldn't understand why I wanted that picture. And I said, of course, because people want to see real life.
Right.
What really happens. Who wants to see all the good pictures? You want to see what Oh, no, he was so mad that day. He was graduating from high school, and he just said to me, "You've got it. Can I have an hour of my time?" And I'd gone over the hour, and he was like, "Oh, that's it. I'm not going to do this anymore." Anyway, we got our shoot. We got our shoot. We got our Vogue Living, and then we got House Beautiful as well. Yeah. They called me immediately and said, "Oh my God, Vogue Living didn't do it justice. We're shooting it." But the most thrilling news I've ever had in my design career is that I'm having my first story in World of Interiors. It comes out in the February issue.
Oh, excellent.
Which house?
It's a ranch I did up in Santa Barbara, and it's really ravishing. I have to say it myself. And even though they didn't want their house published, one day my client said, "You know what? I really love that magazine, World of Interiors." So it was a fluke, because it's not often you can kind of go, "Okay, I'd like that my house to, you know, my something to go in a magazine and be able to choose what you want." But it worked out.
Is it your typical style in Santa Barbara?
You know what? I think it's very sophisticated. It's a sophisticated ranch house. It's all about my new collection, Mexico Meets Morocco, which was, I really came up with designing this when I was doing this house, because my client is not a great flyer, and she has a wonderful beach house in Santa Barbara, which is like being in the Hamptons. And she said, "Oh God, for the ranch, I don't know." She said, "You know, let me feel as if I've gone to Mexico or Morocco." So that was my new collection, which I have to say, my first collection was a really, really good, strong collection. And I'd had, you know, 7 or 8 other collections in between. But this new collection is as strong as my first. And it's very colorful. You know what? It's a really good collection. I don't know. Go to my website.
I know it well. I have to say, I think it's my favorite.
Yeah,
and
it's gorgeous.
And it's really very affordable. I mean, you know.
I know. Well, you know, for me, this was a lot because my ground cloth was expensive. And, you know, my biggest seller has got 12 colors in it. And I was kind of shocked that it was going to cost, you know, $140 trade. And it is my biggest seller, right?
Which one is it?
It's the Suzani.
Yeah,
that's the one I wanted.
You know what? People just have to have it. It's one of those things people go, "I don't care." They have to have it.
You know, I was that one of those people at the I think it was like in August. I suddenly got it in my head that I had to have it. And I had bought another fabric that I didn't love once it was up. And my husband was like, you know what? I just, how do I know you're not going to get this one up and do the same thing? I was like, I swear, this is the one. This is it.
You can't compare the two.
It's so happy. It's so pretty. It's modern, but it's, you know, it's a great take on the Suzani. It's the colors make it fresh. I mean, it's great.
The thing I really strive to do with my fabric designing is that all of my fabrics work well together. And my new book that's coming out in April, which is called Summers in France, which is kind of 20 years of the evolution of my house in France.
Oh, God, I can't wait for that one.
The evolution of my style. And you kind of see how all the fabrics work together, whether it's the first. Bruce, you're not bored, are you? Where are you going? You're going to watch House.
Oh, I love that show.
I know. What man would be bored of decorating? Insane thing to think. What was I saying?
About your new book and your fabric.
Oh, yeah. And so really what's fun about it is because you see my farmhouse in France, which has really been my, it's going to be my laboratory. It's where I've tried things out. But, you know, you'll see in many of the rooms how the rooms have grown and they've layered, and the fabrics from my first collection, my second collection, all live very happily with my last collection. So the philosophy of my textile design is that everything should work well together. You know, because if you, 10 years ago, done curtains in something from my first collection, you don't want to have to, and you just want to go and redo a chair, they all work well together. I'm a big believer in, that rooms evolve. And it's not about, okay, let's just completely redo this now. I mean, I think it's so much fun to do things.
Do you still go all summer to France every summer?
Well, I didn't this summer, but yes, in theory. I mean, the year before I left at the beginning of June, I actually was doing, I had a couple of projects in, I had a couple of projects in England and one in Normandy, France, so it was kind of perfect. So my house became my house sort of became my headquarters, and it was really, really great. I really enjoy being there and sort of spending that 4 months in Europe.
Do you think of yourself as kind of a California girl now, or a British girl, or a continental?
Oh God. I don't think I can think of myself as a California girl, really. Although I can surf. I can stand up.
And you
I
can?
I can surf and I paddleboard and I do all those things. I just think of myself as, God, I don't really know. What am I? I'm a bit of an orphan, really. I don't really, a mongrel, a mutt. I just sort of, a little bit of everything. But I really love my life. I got to say, I know a lot of people complain about LA, and I always really like landing. I love landing here, and I love landing in London. I love landing in Toulouse. I love coming back here, and I love, what I love about LA is you can make whatever you want of this place. You know, it is what it is. You've got great beauty, and you've got the sea, you've got the mountains. No, you've got space. It's been a great place to bring up boys, that's for sure. I can't imagine having brought up three boys in some little small apartment in New York. It would have been hell.
So tell us about your boot camp.
Oh, my boot camp. It was hilarious. God, I was, oh, my God. We had the best time. And actually, my blog right now is about my boot camp. I've just got to finish it. Ugh. It had five women. One came down from Seattle, and then the rest were from here. And it was so much fun. They were just kind of, we had a blast. And it was really fun. I think all these women got to know each other. They all had something in common. And it was really good. I mean, the first day we all met, and we were at my Allmont studio, and I'd gone and got lunch, and I got delicious lemonade. And then one of the girls go, so where's the vodka? Okay. All right. Okay. I've got some. I got some of that. Anyway, from there on, we were all connected at the hip.
So, are you going to continue this program?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm definitely going to. I mean, I did this for. Yeah, I am, because I think it's a very good, and I also think the way that I design and my philosophy about design is very much a group effort, and I like to listen to what other people have to say. And I think, you know, what I bring to the table is I've got years of knowledge, I've got years of making mistakes, and I know what to do. I feel that I'm rather like a butcher. Well, I think what I do is I really take English, French, California, all the different places, India, you know, with a little bit of element. I hate anything to look too much like. I don't want it to be too Anglo. I don't want it to be too ethnic. I think it's like cooking. I always say decorating is like cooking. One too many ingredients and you could throw the whole taste off, you know?
Yeah. Right, because it's a nice balance, like you were saying, the Anglo and the sort of ethnic.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a very nice balance to the English have always, extraordinarily enough, found the most beautiful places in the world. And they managed to colonize them and, you know, in the last 200 years. But the English have a knack of finding great things and great pieces and putting it all together.
I think that's why the British colonial phase, you know, was so big for a while. You know, I think because it is that sort of nice balance of exotic and
and
classic. Does it bother you that Kathy Ireland has a furniture?
God, are you joking? You know, she was the bane of my life, but you know what? What do you do? As my lawyer said to me, Catherine, you know, you want to fight her. She got $250,000 spare cash, and I figure that's the great thing about America. There's room for all of us. And then not so long ago, I was in the airport, and I showed the guy my driver's license. He took a double case tag. He said, well, you've just been through. And I realized that Kathy Allen had come through. And we went to the conveyor belt together. And at the end of it, I looked at her and I just said, I took my, because I'm always getting her mail. She's always getting mine. And frankly, I think without me, there's a huge amount of public confusion. And I mean, she's been hired to do talks at design centers when they thought they were getting me.
My God.
So anyway, so I just went up and I said who I was, and she was, oh my God, she was very completely joking. So I thought maybe I should just, the two of us should merge our companies and I could have some of her gazillions that she's made.
You know what's so funny?
It's so tacky.
People, it's a huge confusion. And in fact,
should that be off the record? The whole.
Oh, I didn't know. I don't care about that. I don't care about that. You know what? Because I haven't. You know, it's like. That's the great thing about the States. I always feel that even when the chintz is out in LA, it's in fashion in Atlanta. There's room for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a big country.
But do you want me to
everyone,
take...
I just think there's such a big aesthetic difference between the two of you, and that's why that's why it's funny.
I quite often start my talks. I just say, please don't confuse me with Kathy Allen. But however, we do have two things in common, and I kind of look down at my breasts. We do both have ample breasts, and believe me, if I had the money she had, I'd be taking out full page ads in all those magazines with me in a bikini. A little bit of nipping and tucking and
your chin lifted.
The real Kathy Allen. But you know what? It's life. Life, if you can't art direct everything, things come up and you just deal with it. It really hasn't. I mean, just once a girlfriend of mine called rather furious. She was a writer for Vanity Fair, and she said, well, I went to the PDC, and I mean, I thought I was going to a talk, you know, you were talking, and I get there, and it's this woman. I have no idea who it is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That would have been funny. I would have loved this.
Kathy Ireland at one time had a design show for a split second, and I watched it one time. It was like a reality design show, and the big tip was to give your client a gift. It was like
give him a candle.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was like the whole show was about giving your client a gift. You know, it's like the gift of a real decorator. How about?
Oh my god!
You know, but hey, babe, she's done good. She's done well for herself. She was actually incredible.
Is Cindy Crawford still design?
Cindy Crawford. Well, actually, Cindy and I share my lovely John, who does my website. Works for me. Has worked with me for years. He now works. I have to share John with Cindy Crawford. She's all these girls. They're all smart and got other stuff going. You know what? Life is so exhausting. I'm exhausted just by all the things that go on in every day. You know, you have to pick your battles and what you're going to do and where you're going to go. And I just really like, you know, one of my other great mentors is Robert Kine, who did Prince Charles and Camilla's. He redid Clarence House after the Queen Mother died. Right. And he took me to go around it when he was installing it. And, you know, he there's something about him that is so amazing, because he's got that sense of, well, what he was able to do, he was able to go through. I mean, he had very good attics and cellars to go through to redo, but he's just got the feeling that you know what, you've got to stay small, you've got to do good work, and the minute you get too big, you dilute what you're really good at. So he and I spend a lot of time. I go and stay with him in he's got a beautiful farm in the English countryside, and we go walking together. He's now done he's got a textile collection for Chelsea Editions, and
well, I noticed you used his fabric for the drape on your website.
I use him a lot, and I think he's a genius. But he and Axel Vervolt, the two people that I really admire in this business, they have these wonderful kind of family-run businesses that have not grown ridiculously, and they're in charge. And you know, Robert loves his travel, and you know, at the end of the day, I think there are only so many people that want to be Martha Stewart. It's too many people. It's too exhausting. And I think that, you know, I take my hat off to her. I think she's extraordinary and does amazing stuff. But I'm not that person. I'm not a good enough businesswoman. Business is not my
forte. No, you're doing pretty well, then.
Yes, you are.
For somebody who's not a good business person.
No, because I want everyone, you know, I want to give everyone everything that they want. I want to keep everyone happy. If you ask me, I mean, I just think whatever you ask for, you should get. But no, I don't know. It's the hard part of this business to me is the business side. I mean, I can do it, and I've done it since I was working with Steve, and it was just me and a computer. And I'll never forget, I've done it all, but it's the managing of people in this business, or in any business. It's the people. That's why you have human resources.
Thank you, Catherine, so much.
It's so nice talking to you. I could go on forever. But let's talk about all the things, because seriously, I want to do these boot camps in France and here. And I just think that I know from the five women that just did it with me, they all had a good time. And I think at the end of the day, it's people getting over inhibitions and realizing that we're all quite normal, and that this is how you do it. You just got to get up and go and do stuff. I don't think that, and I think it's so much about getting together and just having a good time and enjoying what we're doing.
Yes.
So much fun talking to you.
You too. Thank you.
Tell Bruce thanks for waiting.
All right. So all we'll right. speak soon.
Excellent. Thank you, Catherine.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, Joni Webb from Code to Texas, and I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings. And this week we were joined by interior designer and textile designer Catherine Ireland. You can visit us online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com or download our podcast from iTunes. Search for the Skirted Roundtable. Thanks so much, and we'll be back soon.